So on a Friday night, here at the church, we're going to be having a talent show. Now, I know that a lot of you have got talents that you're keeping hidden from the rest of us. So on that night, actually before that night, you need to sign up. But on that night, we want everybody that's got a talent to bring it forth, to let us see it. It may be comedy, it may be a song, it may be a dance, it may be a hula dance or a juggling act, but we want to see it, I think. On the 27th, we may change our mind, but on the 26th, we want to see it. Now, even if you don't plan on revealing your talent, that's okay. We want you to come on that Friday night so that you can see the talent or the lack thereof that we don't have. Anyway, that's 6:30 on the 26th. That's on a Friday night. And let me see. I've got some announcements to make about the food ministry. Egg cartons. The food ministry needs egg cartons. They're starting to get a lot of eggs. So rather than throwing away your egg cartons, if you will save them and bring them with you to church on Sunday, you can give them to the food ministry, and they'll make sure that the eggs are put in there from the hens. They'll, you know, go out and gather the eggs and put them in those little containers. No, seriously, though, we do need egg cartons. We do have, as I understand, we have got eggs in the back. Are they downstairs? They're in the back. They're in a red basket, a half a dozen for each family. And then if there's some left over, then we'll go ahead and pass it around again. But we want to make sure that everybody doesn't leave here without any eggs. Also, as I understand, we do have another store that has opened up to the food ministry, and that's going to be a Monday and Tuesday pickup. Now, we need someone to volunteer to pick up at Bell Carroll on Monday and Tuesday. That's 2 days a week to pick up for the food ministry. If you can do that, I don't know where Bell Carroll is, but Karen does. So see Karen. If you can help on a Monday or Tuesday, if you've got a truck or a trailer, and you can help on Monday or Tuesday, please be sure to see Karen.
I got it.
Now, we have a sound system challenge. And as I understand it, someone has challenged the church body. You know, we have purchased some new sound equipment, and there's been some money given specifically for the sound equipment. But however, what we have purchased is greater than what we have been given. So there's been a sound system challenge. Now, let's see. Da-da-da-da-da-da. For every $2 that is donated, another dollar will be added up to $400. Okay? For every $2 that is given, one more dollar will be given, up to $400. Now, you know what that means. This means that if a total of $100 is donated, it will be topped up to $150. This means if a total of 100 is donated, it will be topped up to 150. If $300 is donated, the church will receive another $150. And if $800 is donated, another $400 will be given a total of $1,200 to the sound system. The challenge will end on May the 12th at midnight. So, now that you know about the sound system challenge, in addition to your normal tithes, this is not to take out of your tithes, but in addition to your tithes, out of your offerings or something, if you want to meet that, accept that challenge, just put on the bottom of your check or just put on the envelope, sound system. And if you give $2, that means somebody else is going to kick in another dollar. Does that make sense to you, everybody? Everybody says yes. Okay, good. Let's see. It's good to see Mike and Carmen back there and Johnny. Good to see you guys. We've been missing you. Good to see Kemp. We missed you last week. And Also, we have Marion, Jean's mom, visiting with us back there in the red. Good to see Katie. Always good to see Katie. Let's see. Oh, yeah, Steve, the little guy back there. Yeah, the little guy back there. It's good to see you too, Steve. For those of you that don't know, we kind of had an unusual service, I think, that one day right before Julie left. But Julie is in Hawaii with her son and daughter-in-law. Her daughter-in-law is in some kind of training session, so she's watching the kiddos while her daughter-in-law is out. So that's where she's at. If you're wondering where Julie's at, she's out laboring for her grandchildren in Hawaii. Yes, we need to pray for Julie.
Yeah. She doesn't get a sunburn. Praise the Lord. I heard that. Oh, go ahead. All right, there's the two areas that we know we have need. We have lots of needs. You want a list? But we are trying to fine-tune the sound system to where we can get control of it. If you want to give, please do that. And by the way, that challenge at midnight, don't call me at 11 and tell me about it. I didn't make the challenge. I don't want to hear about it. All right, don't call me. I won't answer at 11 o'clock for your challenge. It's best to give early. Amen? And then the cooler. Everybody know what a walk-in cooler is? Walk-in refrigerator? Okay, that's a big sucker. And if you want to give to that, well, go ahead. We'll try to lock into that one day, and we can preserve a lot of things. Do y'all know how much food's running through the church every week now? Anybody got an estimate in poundage? At least a ton a week. At least 2,000 pounds of food a week we're giving away. And it could be more than that. It depends on the week. But and there's a lot of produce, milk, eggs, stuff like that. We've got to get rid of quick. And if we had a cooler, we wouldn't have to do that. We could save it for the time when we need it, at least save for a little time. All right, enough of that. We're not just about money, but I know that you are, so we'll give you a chance to give. Y'all not staying with me, or you'd laugh at me once in a while. Praise the Lord. All right, guys, you want to come forward? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless action this morning. That you're going to bless for everybody that reaches in and puts in anything. I ask a special blessing on them. According to your word, let them know that there was a seed and there is a harvest. Encourage your people today and the blessings that you give. And for that, we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She was sweating on that one. That's a lot of work, in case y'all didn't notice. That was good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, is that about the children? All righty, children. Report for duty. Steve, you have any reports from the road? Well, there's something for you to think about. And I think it's time that we think about that, because the Bible says that the devil is going to do the supernatural. Y'all know that? He's going to mimic what we've always said that God's going to do. He's going to heal the sick. He's going to raise the dead. He's going to perform miracles. And if you don't know the difference between the supernatural and the Holy Spirit, then you will be deceived. The Holy Spirit does things for the kingdom of God. He does not do things for show. If there's something out here in the field, a statue that smoke's coming out its ears, it's not the Holy Spirit. Because it's not accomplishing anything for the kingdom of God. If it's crying, if it's bleeding, if it's shouting, if it's screaming, leave it alone. Let somebody else that's interested in carnivals go out and see those things. God's not into sideshows. He's into things that accomplish for the kingdom of God. He'd much rather touch you and make you cry than touch the cross and make it bleed. Right? One will draw crowds, the other will draw followers. Jesus had followers, remember? How hard? What's the difference? The difference is Jesus spoke to tens of thousands of people, did all kinds of miracles. And yet when he died, he had about 160 followers. 150, some, who knows how many, but approximately. And when he was on the cross, there was very few that showed up and said, I'm part of this thing. Now, where are we? Where are we? If Benny Hinn comes floating into town, are we going to run faster to that than if Jesus shows up? Ooh. Ooh. Come on, let's see where we are. Let's see where we are. I want to begin today, Father, by giving you praise and honor and place. This is your word. These are your people. God, I know in my heart that they hunger and thirst after you. They didn't come here to hold my hand or hear my eloquent voice. They came after you. Give them today according to their heart's desire and needs. And for that, we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I'm not going to vary. We're still going to stay on statements of faith, but I kind of want to group today. I want to bring them back into a group before I start again. I want to remind you of our statements of faith. Number one, two cannot walk together unless they are agreed. Two, there is a real hell now and eternally. Number three, repentance is required for all. Four, a covenant is required by all. Five, you noticed I'm doing this real fast. God is the creator of all things. Nothing evolved. Did you hear me? God is the creator of all things. Nothing evolved. Because if you allow one thing to evolve, then maybe you did. I did not evolve. I'm in the image and likeness of God, therefore everything else must be. God created man for His fellowship. Number six, God created man for His fellowship. God was not created for yours, even though they both exist. I want you to remember that your purpose in life is fellowship with God. It is not to minister. It is not to make money. It is not to make kids. It is not to be born and grow old, but it is to fellowship with God. Number seven, the Ten Commandments are a gift from God, a formula for success. And number eight, You must be born again if you intend to see the kingdom. Okay? And I want everybody here, that I want that to be their desire. Not to see the supernatural, but to see the kingdom. Okay. I want to talk today about the keys to the kingdom. I'm going to start talking today about the keys to the kingdom. This is a big subject. I want you to grab your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And I remind you that all of the statements of faith are types of keys to the kingdom. All of the statements of faith that God is giving us are types of keys to a kingdom. But what we need to find out is who, what, why about this statement of the keys to the kingdom. I want to study. Believe it or not, today I've got 3 pages of notes. I'm trying something here. I'm seeing if I can limit the time spent. I don't know if it's going to work with notes or not, but we'll find out. I kind of had a thought that God might make me throw the notes down and something else would happen today, but we'll see. Let's begin studying. How many of you know that the Bible says study to show yourself approved? All right, we're going to study the Word. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Who do they say that I am? 14. So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Now this is a group question with a group answer. That's all the way God will approach things that way, but this is the way He really approaches the next verse. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am? Now that you've told me what men say, who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Miracles have not revealed this to you. The sick being healed did not reveal this to you. The dead being raised did not reveal this to you. But my Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you." Now it just turned real personal and real, didn't it? Verse 18. "And I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then He commanded His disciples that they should tell no one that He was Jesus the Christ. We might ought to just spend about an hour talking about that last one. And might just set ourselves straight about what we're supposed to say. If the whole key to the kingdom was that the Holy Spirit revealed to Peter who Jesus was, maybe we ought to depend a little bit more upon the Holy Spirit to tell about Jesus. And not so much on what somebody has taught us to tell. Let's go back. A couple of things before we go forward I want you to see in this scripture. "And I also say to you that you are Peter." Now, was there a name change going on here? Simon Bar-Jonah. "You are Peter," which means rock. Who did He say this to? He said it to somebody that wasn't a rock. He said it to a fallible man. "You are a rock." Now let me show you what else He said. "And on this rock, I will build my church." Now there's two rocks being talked about here, not one. There's two. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is the first rock. "On this rock I will build my church." That's the main rock we're talking about here. The cornerstone of all foundation, the Scripture says. Peter was not the rock. Not the rock that the foundation was going to be built on, or the kingdom was going to be built on. That was Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Number one. Then He said to Peter, "I'll build my church, my kingdom, on people like you." that are hard-headed and fallible. The two types of rocks that God's going to build His church and His kingdom through His church. One is that, well, I won't get ahead of myself. Then He said, and when I do this, the gates of hell shall not prevail. All the attacks of hell, the incorporations as hell takes its position, will not affect you. As it tries to overtake you, like arms, the gates of hell trying to bring you in, it'll not prevail. If you have based everything on Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and you've made your mind up and nobody else can change your mind. Those two things. When this happens, you will resist hell. You will resist things that are not like God. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, there's no hidden meaning about this. There's no hidden meaning. He was doing you. When you fit the criteria, when you believe that Jesus Christ is your only Messiah, not your work, not your other beliefs, not your passions, but Jesus Christ, and you believe He's the Son of the living God that purchased the kingdom, He's a bona fide king. When you believe that, He's paid His dues. Do you guys remember when Israel desired a king? We want a king like everybody else has. Well, you know what? They asked amiss. That was a wrong thing to ask. So what did God do? He took what was wrong and meant it for right. He gave them a king. Are you hearing me?
Yep.
Now, for a while, they had some kings that did not know what you and I know. And it didn't go well. But then Jesus was established, earned the position, the right to be king of the kingdom. All we have to do is believe that. And now we get the prayer that they ask, give us a king. Amen? All right. We've covered that enough. I'm going to probably do about two more reviews and then I'm going to quit. Because this is too long a story to go today. Who has the keys? Who has the keys? I should have brought my big key ring, shouldn't I? Okay, the church has the keys. That's a good answer because then we have to decide if we're part of the church or not. Now the standard answer is who's the church? The church is anybody. Well, I think if you'll study, you'll find that there's a little more to it. That's a good place to start, but it goes from there. Who has the keys? I just told you, those that believe... Now, I don't want to say those that believe in Jesus, because the devil believes in Jesus. I want to get real detailed here with you. I don't want to give you any more room than you have earned. The gospel of Jesus Christ is I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom as soon as you earn them. Not just because you say, I believe. Little Mackenzie, she has the right to pick up mommy's keys. She does quite often. She has the right to do that. You know that? But she does not have the right to use them. Because she hasn't matured enough yet. And if she did try to use them, not only would mommy interfere, so would y'all. Because that would be what was best for her and everybody else. Who has the keys? I don't care what age. I don't care, newborn or oldborn, all of us have keys because Jesus said so. Now, I don't mean all of the whole world. The whole world does not have keys. I said those that believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of the living God. And on your future, that rest, those people have keys. Even if this is the first day they've ever professed that, they have the keys. It's like God just reaches and picks up the biggest set of keys you ever saw in your life. And He does this. Now you got the keys. Now, if I threw these keys to you, Harry, Could you begin to start listing them what they're for? Yeah, because I own the lock. I own the lock. Or I own the key. You choose however you want to see this. But there's a lot of keys on here. In fact, I have a big bundle of keys. I don't have the slightest idea what they're for. Big bucket full, I think. God gives us the keys. Now, to make it real simple, I can look at this and I can say, okay, God, I thank you for all these keys. What in the thunder do I do with them? Isn't that kind of the way it is? And the picture begins to, as we read the Word, we begin to see things that can be opened up by us. All things bound and loosed. All things. And then as we're in our Christian walk, we begin to look at things that we know that need to be bound or loosed, but we just don't know exactly how, and God will refer us to a key. When we run into a locked situation or a door that's not locked that should be, and it covers both areas, God will give us a key by the Holy Spirit, through the Word, through praise, through prayer, on what to do and what to say. And then we can say, oh, that's the key for that situation. Then there'll be another one. It's a good, refreshing, constant walk going on, right? It's nearly like having a new pair of shoes in the closet every Sunday. Who has the keys? Those that believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Two, that there is a kingdom. How many of you know that there's not too many Christians that know there is even a kingdom? They don't have the slightest idea. How do you know that, Stan? Because they've never once bowed to the King. They're on their own trek, doing their own thing, preaching their own gospel, singing their own song, dancing their own dance, and not one time have they asked the King what He wants. You know why? The other reason is, very few want to bow to anything or anyone. They don't want to bow to the Word. They don't want to bow to the work that's involved. They don't want to submit. They don't want to say, okay, God, if it's for the kingdom, I'll do it. They'd rather hear their flesh say, I don't want to do it. Then they say, oh, God told me I'm not supposed to do it. That's right. They don't want anything to do with the government. Now, did you hear me? I don't know how many times I've heard people say, God told me, when I know good and well it was just something inside of them. Y'all are quiet about that. This is your first day on the job. You've never seen that before? I'll guarantee you, if everybody in Mike's organization would just get saved all of a sudden, especially in a charismatic church, pretty soon they'd all be coming to him and say, you know what, Mike? God told me you're supposed to give me a raise. Come on, you know it's true. And I'm not just talking about those guys. I'm talking about us every time we boldly approach the throne of God. We say, God, according to your word, when it's really according to my word. This is what I want. And we have to determine the difference between, here's a good place to call the supernatural of the Holy Spirit. See, I believe in the supernatural. I firmly believe that God will give me anything that I ask. But do I also, number two, believe that there is a kingdom and it's more important for me to ask what's good for the kingdom and not for me? We love to sing, it's not about me, it's all about you. Is it really? Number one, believe that Jesus is. Number two, that there is a kingdom. Number three, Jesus is the King of a real kingdom. And we're a member of that kingdom. Listen, the kingdom of heaven is everything past, present, future, here, there. That's why we need to stop talking about heaven. Because the kingdom is, when the only thing that's really described about heaven coming down or heaven is that it's multidimensional. It is measured length, width, depth, like an ocean. You cannot figure out how much water's in something until you measure all the dimensions. And us single-dimension people, the people that have flat feet, we like to talk about the flat surface, and that's the only thing real, until heaven, and then there's another surface, and we still want that to be flat. Because we talk about walking the streets of gold. Part of heavens, I don't have to walk no more. You hear me? Come on, don't sleep through this. We believe that Jesus is the King of a multidimensional kingdom. Eyes, basically, single dimension. Jesus, the King of eyes and everything else. Single dimension and every dimension past that. Past, present, future, up, down, all around. And that I can either walk in this flat dimension where I can rule and reign, or I can walk multidimensionally where I'm ruling and reigning in all directions at the same time. If you want the gates of hell to not prevail, you better be able to protect from all directions. Amen? All directions. You must have dominion in all directions. That's one reason the church is getting beat up so bad. You must also believe that Jesus earned the kingdom and the kingship. Why is that important? Why is it important that we must know that He earned it? It wasn't just dumped on Him. Come on, I got a trick question for you here. Think carefully before you answer. Why is it important? Because we need to do the same thing that He did. I know this is against a lot of the gospel that's going around, but Jesus taught us how. Let's just do it. He said, take up your cross and follow Me. That means don't expect God just to dump everything on you and call you kings. You're going to earn it. Well, how are you going to earn it? Well, you're going to be as faithful to Jesus as He was to you. That's all. Let's make it simple so that children can understand. But the thing of it is that we're going to have to... It's much easier for us to honor the King if we know He earned it. It's hard to honor somebody that it was dumped on them. Maybe that's why we don't respect each other enough, is that we don't really understand that Jesus didn't run us down and stomp the hell out of us and open us up and dump in a bunch of righteousness and say, now you're better. That's a gross picture, wasn't it? All right, who has the keys? Those that believe and say that Jesus is. I just talked to you about what they believe. Now I want you to understand it's what they believe and say. Why? Because He said, who do men say that I am? And after they answered, He said, but who do you say that I am? A little later He said, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and cast to the sea, and does not believe, or does not doubt, but believes what He says He will have, He will have. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb and what?
Word of their testimony.
Peter was not approved to have keys until he said, you are to Me. We have to know it. We have to know it and say it. Another point. B. Those that have personal knowledge and relationship with Jesus, the Son of the living God. It's not enough to believe it. It's not enough to say it. Because here's what He said. Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. What He said was prompted by His relationship with Jesus. So just learning the spiel is not going to work. Just doing the signs, just doing the quotes, the chants are not going to do it. We need to begin to realize that God, the Spirit of the living God, needs to prompt some things out of us. Some statements, some beliefs. Come on, y'all looking at me like funny. Listen, those men, I got to say this to you. Those men that walked with Jesus, they saw some miraculous things. But I bet you a dollar, they smelled some things come out of Jesus that they wouldn't thought would come out of righteous men. In other words, He had some things in His body and His life just like we did. Are you hearing me? I bet you once in a while He got bad breath. I guarantee you when He did all that fasting, He did. And they wanted to hear what He said, but they wanted to hear Him just stand back over there a little bit. You hearing me? Now come on, let's get real about Jesus. They knew where Jesus came from. They knew He was born in a garbage dump. They knew things about Jesus that would hurt their what you and I call their faith or their belief, because he was flesh. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I just wouldn't be a bit surprised if one day while they were walking down a row and a rain shower came and he slipped on a rock and fell. I just wouldn't be a bit surprised if that didn't happen to him. And they said, if you were really the Son, in the hearts, not their mouths, in the hearts, if they were really the Son of God, he wouldn't have slipped and fell. Did he not say, I felt every feeling that you've ever felt? We don't get real enough with that once in a while. If we would begin to look at Jesus as a man, walking, stumbling once in a while, oversleeping, or snoring even. Can you imagine? Jesus might have snored. He might have belched once in a while. Oh my goodness. If we can begin to look at him that way, then we can have more respect for him and each other. He earned his position with the Father. I heard someone say this morning, I'm not even going to tell you who, but it caused me a tremendous amount of thinking. And that is that God placed everything, he risked everything in a man called Jesus. A man with a will. And if the man with the will would have sinned, God would have followed. And Satan would have won. And I know all of you are mad at me right now. But you better think about it that way. I'm going to tell you why. Why is because God is now risking the kingdom with you. Now, he's not in one man, because that battle's been won. But he's doing the same thing now than he did then, that he did then. He's risking things on us. Why? So that we can earn the position. Why? Why earn it? Because then you can speak with power and authority. You can't until you earn it. And no way that I can speak about framing a house like Chuck can speak about framing a house. Why? He's got a lot more mileage in it than I do. That's why. Otherwise, all of you guys that wanted your barns or your houses framed, you'd just go talk to somebody else. Instead, you look at him. Why? He earned it. He earned it. If he says you can't do that, then you won't try to do that. Right? Jesus. That's all I need to say. Jesus. He earned it. Now listen. You must have the knowledge. You must have a personal relationship. See, those that their knowing is not based on research, but the knowing of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, can I just tell you something? It's real easy to believe in Jesus when you first get born again. But I can tell you this, if that's as far as it goes, it gets harder and harder and harder as time goes on. That little relationship that was established way back there whenever will not carry you through your entire life. No more than one night on a honeymoon will make a marriage of 30 years. It ain't going to happen. You're going to spend time together. You're going to get to know each other. It's going to get intimate. You're going to know each other. When somebody says, I don't think you're married, you're going to say, what do you care? I care what you think. My wife thinks we are. And that's all that counts. Now, my relationship with Jesus Christ, my Messiah, my Son of the Living God, the one, my King, you can come to me and say, surely you didn't. And I'm going to say, I don't give a flip what you think. Yeah, I'm not Stan, I'm the Rock, because Jesus said so. I mean, I'm not Shirley, I'm Stan the Rock. Been challenged in that area. He's not here right now, so I don't have to worry about it. A guy came to me one time and said, Stan, are you and Connie really married? Hey, has anybody ever asked you that, Harry? All it takes is one good gossip. Just one good gossip in the church, and they'll be asking you. I said, yeah? No, you don't understand. Did you have somebody perform the ceremony? Yeah. No. You don't understand. So we kept going. Was it a preacher in a church? Yeah. No. You don't understand. Do you have a license? Now I'm gonna have to get up on the cross a little bit right now because I got some real good answers for you when it comes to there. But I said, yes, and what's this about? I said, I haven't asked you those questions. Why are you asking me? Because the preacher said that you weren't married. Well, who told the preacher? Well, we could go on down the line. I could hit it right on the nail. Now, what I really should have said, none of your stinking business. And tell your preacher that while you're at it. My wife thinks we're married, and that's all I need to have happen. And maybe we fooled God, too. Maybe we just deceived Him in thinking we're married. One good gossip. You know why you haven't asked us if we were married? Because we act like we are. Right? Then nobody should have to ask us if we're born again, right? Nobody should have to ask us if we believe that Jesus is the King of a kingdom. Nobody should have to ask us if God ever speaks to us. Another one. God builds His church and kingdom with and on those that are determined. How many of you know that Peter was determined? How do you know that? How do you know that Peter was determined other than Jesus said he was? Which is probably all you need. But other than that, look at his life. How do you know he was determined? We always talk about Peter. Isn't he the one that denied Jesus? No. I don't know him. I'm out of here. How does that story tell me he's determined? How many? Yes, he repented. And then what else? He didn't do it again. And he went right back and started over again. This was the fallible man that Jesus called the rock. Now, I'll give you a real strong one. Who walked on the water? Now, how many of you, after you denied Christ three times, would walk out of a boat onto water? Yeah, but that hadn't happened yet. Oh, God knew. God knows before it happens. Don't tell me that. That's how come we're to listen to Him. Because He already knows what's going to happen. We need to depend on that. Even if we can't see it, feel it, hear it, we got to depend on it anyway. Right? Peter was a rock. He was not perfect. He didn't say, Peter, I'm going to call you perfect. Simon Bar-Jonah, perfect. Because I can build my church on that. He said, you're a hard head. You just made your mind up and nobody's going to turn you away. So I can build my church and my kingdom upon that process, that decision making. He builds his kingdom and his church on those that are fallible and determined. On those that are fallible and they're persuaded. On those that are fallible and openly in love with the King. Why did I say it that way? I don't know how else to say it. I've never met anybody that's not fallible. What does fallible mean? Well, it's spelled F-A-L-L. I-B-L-E. That means fallible. Okay? I'm not going to give you an excuse to fall. I'm just going to give you a slight prediction. Okay? So what's important here? The perfectness of your attitude and walk or the determination of your attitude and walk? So what God is looking for in establishing the kingdom is determination. Anybody know a soft rock? Anybody ever seen a soft rock? A rock that's easily changed in form or belief? Okay. Upon this rock, upon that kind of rock, a good church leader is one that never fit anybody's mold. You always just kind of look at them like, I think you're out there by yourself somewhere. I don't know what you're thinking. You're just weird. Yep. Anyway, another one. The kingdom will and does prevail for God, for Jesus, for you and I, against Satan and his hell. What is the kingdom for? What are the keys for the kingdom for? Who's got them and what it's for? The kingdom will and does prevail, always will and does, right now, prevail for the benefit of God. For the benefit of Jesus. Let's keep them in order, too. For the benefit of you and I, against Satan and his hell. That's what these are for. They're not for your new car. They're not for your new house. Don't get that kind of specific. I'm telling you what the keys are for. They may give you a new car, a new house. You just wait for that and see what God says. I'm telling you the keys that God gives you are for Himself. They're for His Son. the king. They're for each other. We'll get into this probably next time. But when I have a key for you, and I'm getting real revelation of this as time goes on. When I have a key for you, you don't move unless I use the key. Did you get what I said? I don't know that I get totally what I say. But I'm telling you, if God puts a lock on you that only I have the key for, you're going to stay locked up until I use the key. And vice versa. This is called the church. This is called the kingdom. This is not a man on an island by himself with a soccer ball painting a face on it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. Castaway? Wilson, yeah. He gives keys and he gives locks. And by the way, the other part of this, once again, we'll get into it later, is that he gives me locks. And sometimes I just reach over and lock it and you ain't getting out because I got the key. One of the prophets said, I believe I'm not going to allow it to rain for... How long was that? 3 years? And it didn't rain for 3 years. If you don't think the keys don't work, that's pretty good proof. And then one day God spoke to him and said, it's time. So he said, I believe it's going to begin to rain. And sent a man out there and just say, look, you keep an eye on the sky. Because when you see that cloud coming, we got to run. When you see the cloud coming, we got to run. Or we'll all get washed away. That's a pretty good belief system, isn't it? All right. God builds his kingdom with keys. He said, upon this, I will build. Let me hit you with something. He didn't say, with Peter, I will build. He said, upon this rock, I will build. He didn't say, with Jesus, I will build the kingdom. He said, upon this rock, this foundation, I will build the kingdom. So there must be some building processes and, and supplies that are beyond Jesus, Peter, and you and I. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, now that I'm born again, I can't get my feet up on the easy chair and say, okay, God, build your kingdom. Or if that would have been the end of it, he wouldn't have said, I give you the keys of the kingdom to bind and loose. God, why don't you build your kingdom? The Holy Spirit says, get the keys out of the dusty storage and get to using them. Then we'll see some growth process here. It's kind of like a picture of God giving you, everybody in here, a huge warehouse full of warehouses. And you got them, and you got the keys setting up on the hang on the wall. And you never get them out. And you're beating on the door of the warehouse. And you got the key. Because one thing you see in here is that God did not say, I'll give you the keys except for. I'll give them to you. I give them to you. You want something out of this storehouse that I've got? The windows of heaven being opened? Use your keys. Use your keys. You understand why I think this is so important? We've got to understand. You have the keys. If you're determined, if you believe in King Jesus and the kingdom, then you have the keys. You have the keys. I'm not going to list keys right now. We'll get to that. God builds his kingdom with keys. They bind and they loose. They bind and they loose. When I got out of my car today, I took a key. I'm sure y'all got keys just like this. And I found it. That's a real hard one, isn't it? And when I go back out there, I will loose it. Same key. And I may do that 1,000 times until a better thing comes along with a better key. Now let me ask you something. Is there anything negative about me binding the car? Nope. Is there something positive about that?
Yes.
All right. Is there something negative about me loosing the car? Is there something positive about that? Okay. I want you to get that picture. You've got keys to your house. I'm going to finish early. I want you to get that picture for next time because we're going to go into this a little deeper. I want you to understand that when Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom, and what's bound on earth is bound in heaven, and what's loosed on earth is loosed in heaven, neither is totally positive or totally negative. It's keys to make things happen. Please drop from your mind the negative or the positive about keys to the kingdom. Get them out of there. We don't go around with keys to the kingdom binding Satan. Even though that may be something that God asks us to do, it's okay if it is. But that would be a strictly negative connotation about the keys to the kingdom. Why wouldn't we look at it like somebody, Satan has someone bound, why don't we lose him? If we've got to think it, let's think it positive. I got some more definitions for you next time. Let's end there. Next time we're going to go deeper. That'll take care of that. Let's review right quick because I want you to get this down. Number one, we must be aware of what men say. You want me to read the scripture again? I can quote it to you. Jesus said, "What do men say?" There is nothing wrong, or maybe it's even required, that we know what men say. Why? Because God wants us aware, alert. Many times the Holy Spirit will inform us of what others are saying or doing so that we can help. So we must know what men say. Number two, we must be led by the Spirit of God. Number three, we must believe that there's a kingdom and Jesus is the King. Number four, we must be determined to serve the King. I'll do what Connie does, triple that line right there, just stop for a second. We must be determined to serve the King. For some reason, we think that once we're saved, we don't have to try to serve the King. You guys underestimate Satan. He is determined to take away your salvation. He's determined to take away your keys. How do you know that? Because he did in the garden. It took Jesus to get him back. We must be determined to serve the King. Number five, we must know the King personally. What are you saying, Stan? I'm saying that my knowing him is not enough. The keys that I have, I'm not going to give them to you. These are my keys, in case anybody wants to know. I'm not sharing them with anybody. They're mine. If you don't believe that, ask my wife. I want to know where these things are all the time. As little as possible, I want her not to touch them. I don't want her touching my keys. Because I want to know where they are. I want access to them 24/7. Why? Because they're my keys. What part of this can't we understand? Get your own keys. I don't care if she has the keys to everything I've got. Just don't get mine.
Amen.
Get your own. Now, how much different with the kingdom of God? I don't even want her riding into the kingdom on my shirt tail. She got to go after her own keys. She can use anything I've got. They're totally hers. But she can't use them for long because I want them back. And I want to know where they are anytime I ask. I want you to hand them to me anytime I need them. They're mine. Right? I'm telling you the same thing. I'm going after my keys. I got my keys to the kingdom. And I'm going to begin to use them. And don't you borrow them from me because then I couldn't use them. You get your own. How do you do that? Well, you got to know the keeper of the keys and the locks personally. Number six, we must know that the kingdom and church is built on those that are fallible and determined. Very, very important. The church, the kingdom, is going to be built on people like you and I. And God's not going to take any excuses. He already sees from the beginning from the end. Wherever you blew it last time, He had it factored in. All He wants you to be is more determined than the devil. Anybody ever run a race? Any of you ever feel like giving up if somebody passed you? Liars. You know good and well you felt like giving up if somebody passes you. I didn't ask you if you gave up. I said if you feel like giving up. See, here's the fallibility that Jesus is talking about. I'm not interested in your feelings. I'm interested in what you're going to do. Are you all interested in all the things that Jesus felt? Are you interested in what He did? Guess what? That's what He's interested in too. Seven, we must know that we hold the keys not only to the kingdom, but to our future in the kingdom and to others' future in the kingdom. Come on, y'all. Yeah. I can promise you this, and you just need to get real about this. There's somebody watching. And if you or I decide to lift our voices and tell Jesus to go to blazes, and we mean it, somebody is going to fall because we do that. And if you don't care about you, care enough about somebody else to keep on the true course. If you can't care about Jesus enough, and if you can't care about you enough, care about other people enough. You will never get them to heaven, but you could get them to hell. You can be instrumental in introducing them to the kingdom of God. You can be instrumental in introducing them and persuading them that you're not the king, Jesus is the king. But you better be cautious about who you cause to stumble. Maybe it does help. Praise the Lord. Y'all stand with me. I don't know if anything that I said was revolutionary today, but it's been revolutionary to me. As I began to read that scripture and meditate on that, for Jesus to walk up to a man like Peter and say, "Peter, rock." That ought to just floor us, that right there. Just knowing Peter, that statement enough that Jesus made, "rock," just ought to give us goosebumps. And never again is Peter mentioned as being foundation for the church. Jesus is. But upon this attitude, upon this rock, upon people that have this attitude, I will build the kingdom of God. Upon those people that say, "You are my Lord and Savior, the Son of the living God." Say it openly. You want me to tell you what it took for Peter to say that? I'm not even going to say that. Guts. Because Peter knew who he was and who he wasn't. And if you don't think the devil wasn't busy right there telling Peter about all of his falls, you are seriously mistaken. Are you listening to me? Peter knew he was a weak man in his heart. And the devil was using a loudspeaker system in his head to remind him of every mistake that he made while he was pondering who Jesus was. Come on, your mind is quick. It's a million times faster than any computer. I guarantee you, they say your life flashes before your eyes when you die. Boom! It flashes before your eyes all the time. The devil does that on purpose. Because the devil doesn't want you to know that upon you, the kingdom is being built. And as all of this is being processed through Peter, here's the decision Peter made. In his mind, in milliseconds, he heard all of this stuff that Satan was putting on him, and all of this condemnation and accusation. And he put his shoulders back and said, "I say you are my Savior." And Jesus went, yeah, I can use this. Nothing happened to Peter that wasn't common to you and I. That means it's going to happen. Next time the Holy Spirit walks up and says, "I need you to say or do," understand that the same Satan that attacked Peter right at that moment will attack you at that moment. And your obligation is to be determined and say, "Jesus Christ is my Savior, my King, the Son of the living God." Plain enough?
Yes.
All right. We'll get heavier into the keys next week, Lord willing. And I think He is. Y'all pray about that. Let's ask for some revelation in that area. Something that's never been heard before. We have the right to ask that. Amen?
Yes.
Now, all hearts clear. Is everybody in here willing to say in the devil's face, in the world's face, in my face, but most of all in Jesus' face, "You are my Messiah"?
Yes.
All hearts clear? Father, I thank you today. I thank you for what I see and what I don't see. I thank you for what I know and I don't yet know. I thank you for what I feel and what I don't yet feel. I thank you that the kingdom that I'm speaking of is light, is joy, is health, is peace, is finances, is power. It's keys and it's locks. And it's hard for me to understand, but I do believe, Lord, by your word, by the faith that you gave me, I believe that you gave me the key to every lock. And I believe you gave me the lock to everything that needs to be shut out. And with all of my heart and with all of my might and for your honor and for your glory, I want to move up into that position, Lord. Move us into that position where we go boldly into the throne room, pull out a key from the one that holds the master key, and we move into the rightful position that you've told us. God, we know right now, we were touched this week with the thought that there are people out there that are suffering because we haven't moved up into the position you've asked us to move. There are churches, there are church leaders, there are cities, there are entities that you want touched. God, let this be the beginning of that path that we began to take to free, to loose, to bind according to your orders. You follow with signs, Lord, and for that we'll give you praise. Thank you for the time to praise you. Thank you for the time to worship. God, we still ask you for a building. I'm getting sick and tired of setting up and taking down. Sick and tired, Lord. In my spirit, I'm sick and tired. I want you to give us this building or a better one. I ask you that publicly, Lord. And I ask you in Jesus' name, and I ask you for the kingdom of God so that we can move into more perfection instead of perfection of setting up and tearing down our wasted energy. I ask you to send the crowds, Lord. I ask you to send the finances. And I ask you to send your glory and power. Let it all be for you. Let everybody here that has persisted in hearing your word, let them be blessed beyond measure. Let them move in the direction that you've just now pushed and shoved. We love you, Lord, with all of our hearts. And more than that, we trust you. Let everything we do, say, and think bring glory to you. Let thy kingdom come and thy will be done in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen. Please, one more moment. If you're going to help put up, do not take the mic cords off. It took us an extra 30 minutes this morning because of that. And we do need a little extra help. Make sure the things that we don't use on Wednesday night go in the back. Anything else? 3 o'clock at Renee's. He's got a table and drawers back there. He needs a little help to get it upstairs so we can put some more equipment. All right, y'all be dismissed. Hallelujah.